Wait. Slowest countdown ever. What's up, everybody, and welcome to Put It in the Books show on a Monday. We haven't been on a Monday for quite a while. I am Steve. I got Keith over here to my left. What's up, bro? Chacho.
What's up, bro? Chacho.
I got my good friend Rodriguez right down there. I even forgot what they. What did I just say, Bromigo?
Don't say it. That horrible thing.
Chacho.
Hey, everyone.
Chacho.
All right. We got producer
Joe.
Just say
what you want to say. Don't beat around
behind the wall. This is turning into a punny episode. Producer Joe behind the wall. Is he back there?
There he is. See, now he's not going to unlearn that. He can't unlearn things, you know.
That's it.
It's stuck in that head.
Once it's right. That's that thing that we, you know, we call him, right? We call him Raymond. And it just everything's
see?
There.
See, he just he's a little what is that thing where you just spout nonsense? What is it?
Tourette's.
Just a touch.
A scotch.
There it is. See?
Is that the official verb for Tourette's? Tourette's.
It's a little Tourette. Yeah.
Wow.
We are innovated on this show. So rather than go around, Robin, because we got a lot to talk about. Yeah. Let's. I wish so it's
much
stupidity.
Fun. It's gonna be fun.
Much of it is stupidity, but let's get the party started here, producer Joe. Let's hit it.
Put up the books.
And a pleasant Monday evening, everybody. Welcome back into the Put in the Book show. I'm Steve. I got Keith and Rodriguez here. Producer Joe behind the wall in Rodriguez's lair. let's talk a little bit about coffee.
That.
And because we need to get energized here just to power through this thing here. So let's talk real quick. Brooklyn Water Coffee Roasters and my good friend, my bro Chacho, Keith.
BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com, from their chocha to your front door. Only the finest beans are hand
selected. Oh, my God.
What? Did I say something?
Oh, my God. I'm just praying. Oh, my God.
I don't know if I said something. I'll start over. No. BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com, from their roastery to your front door. Only the finest beans are hand selected for your pleasure. When I say pleasure, I mean pleasure, bro Chacho. They have a ton of different flavors out there. The coffee is really delicious. It's not your run-of-the-mill coffee. It's not the coffee you get off the shelf in a supermarket. It's hand-picked and roasted within 24 hours of its roast date. You'll have it within days of it actually being roasted. It's probably, aside from roasting yourself, one of the freshest ways you can actually get coffee. BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. There's a couple different flavors out there that I have to shout out every single episode, because if we don't say Seto, it's not an advertisement, such as dark roast, dark chocolate. It's really delicious, chocolatey flavored, dark roasted coffee, and it's got chocolate in it, so you really got to watch how much you drink, because you don't want to add too many calories to your diet. How many calories are in that, Farach, just so everybody knows?
Absolutely, 100%. Seto!
Boom, and I gave the answer away. But it still doesn't matter, because it's just as powerful when you say it as if I never heard it before. I love it. BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com, from their roastery to your front door. What's the other flavor out there I really like? It's called Morning Wood for you, all you brochachos.
That's
out
your
there.
Favorite. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That is your favorite.
Yep. Put the cho in front.
That sounds like a brochacho drink to you, for you. Huh?
Right. Put the cho in front. You get some Morning Wood. And sure you can have a delicious cup of coffee. All kidding aside, Morning Wood is a delicious coffee. I think it has...
What is it? What is it again?
Morning Wood
is a delicious coffee, right?
Delicious coffee. Yeah. He put the cho before the cha and bro cha cho cha
put the bro behind. That's why you get bro.
Oh my god.
I can't stop saying it. Frank Terzio.
Yeah.
You know what Frank Terzio?
Little Tourette's, huh?
Focus.
BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com
from the roastery to your front door, only to find his beans are hand-selected, as I said before, for your distinct pleasure. Guaranteed to ship within 24 hours of its roast date. Check them out now. And if you do, you should put two bags in your cart. You know why, Farachi? You know why, Rodriguez? They should put two in their cart?
I don't know why. Tell me why.
Because if they use the code POPCULTUREPROS, all capital letters, they'll get third one free. So yeah, well, you will take 33% off of your order. Well, really, 33. You won't. But the coffee will cost that much less. BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com, www.BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. Check them out now. Order now. Do it now. PopCulturePros.com. PopCulturePros is your code. Go.
Boom. All right. So, first things first here. Howie Rose kind of calling it a season for this year. He's going to get some medical help for a medical situation.
No word on what? Because I'm nosy and most people are.
I know.
No word on what the medical condition actually is, right?
No, but I'm sure it has, I'm guessing here it's something to do with what he was out for a little earlier in the season. So
yeah, I'm assuming so too, yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to put this season in the books. Huh? If that's not a shout out to this show,
I don't know what it is.
Thanks,
looking forward to starting a new chapter next spring. So let's do a little cheers here to the radio voice of the New York Metropolitans for a speedy recovery. Howie.
Mister, put it in the books.
One of the ultimate Met fans. Wish you the best, buddy.
All right, here we go. All right, so let's get to this thing. Let's get to this little situation that has developed over the last day and a half or so. I know. This is one of the episodes where it's like, oh, do we really have to talk about this? As Mets fans, we probably just avoid everything, but now we got to do a show about it. I'm not going to break down the details. Obviously, Baez came out and just said, hey, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it. Could have just kept it to themselves because I've been watching some of the shows that are on throughout the day today. And one of them said he offered this up. For what reason, I have no idea. But nobody noted that, and he said that they've been doing it for a couple of weeks now, and nobody's noticed it because when you don't get on base, you have nothing to do thumbs down about towards the fans. So we've talked about booing players and what that does on this show many times here, I feel. So let's go around the horn here and just talk about what we think about this situation. I know what producer Joe feels about it, and if you want to chime in as well, that'd be cool too. But Rodriguez, I want to start off with you.
You're going to start off with me, right? I know why.
Yeah. So Baez comes in. He's 17 games in. He's never played in New York before. Things aren't the same in other cities, even Chicago. Talk to us. What do you think about this situation?
Well, listen, I think the fact that he offered it up makes him really stupid. I have to be honest. If that's what it really is, because obviously he said it, that's what it is, I guess. That I thought when he was going like this, that it was about me.
That's what I thought too at first.
And he could have kept it going. And
like an RVD, right?
That. Yeah, like an RVD, but like from wrestling. All about me, which kind of stuck with me, not in the right way either, because the guy's going all about me and it's a team game. But still, I didn't think he was dissing the fans because of their booing. That's being immature, not understanding the market that you're in. As a professional, speaking in a professional sense, this is what I think. The immature professional, for sure. His agent should definitely have spoken to him. Someone should have been speaking to him because this has been known around the players, right? Around the players. There should have been somebody in there that said, no, you can't do this. So it's not only on Baez. It's not only on Lindor. But look, pretty boy, Pete Alonso. He's the leader in that clubhouse. He's the guy. He's the man in the clubhouse, no matter what anybody says. The no can say this and that. He hasn't proven his skills offensively enough to be that, to be the captain. It's Alonso. It's a guy like Conforto, who's supposed to be a straight shooter. It's Kevin Pillar, who comes in supposedly with this big pro attitude, pro type of player, and he's actually involved in it. So it's not only on bias. So honestly, people should really try to understand that. It's a whole team thing. So someone needs to get spoken to, and the manager should be doing the speaking to. If he can't do it because he's in on it, or he didn't know, or he's uncomfortable with it, then, he said that's a problem. Okay, so then he needs to address it and make sure that never happened again. Because Sandy said something about it, and he said it, and it's done and over with now. If someone else steps out of line, then it's going to be a big problem. It's nonsense we didn't need when we're actually even trying to get to a playoff. You know, you're trying to focus on getting a team to a playoff, and by a miracle of God, get in again. These are distractions you don't need. You know, yep. Baez needs to shut up, and somebody else in that locker room needs to step up.
100%. Keith, what are your thoughts here? And maybe start off with what are your thoughts on booing players?
I think it's every fan's right to boo a player, especially if you're not performing. Yep. You know, there's some cases where it's ridiculous, and I refer to this often when it comes to booing, and it is the other side, the dark side. But like when the Yankee fans were booing Jeter, I thought that was a little ridiculous. But in this particular case, these guys come over here. Lindor just signed a huge contract. Baez came over here. He's a newcomer, 17 games, like you mentioned. And you're doing this whole thumbs down thing. Well, dude, honestly, you just joined a team that is completely underperforming. And I'm being very generous when I say underperforming offensively.
Very generous.
Yeah. So, you know, the fans have a right to be frustrated. As a matter of fact, your big contracts, your job itself, is because of the fans. If fans just stop watching, stop going to games, there's no Mets, there's no paychecks, and you're either on another team or there's not enough players and you don't play. So we have a right as fans to go boo. Do I always agree with the booing? No, but it is their right. And furthermore, I think in New York, it's really an accountability issue. And I know we mentioned this in our chat. I think when you're a player in New York, especially the Mets, we will hold you accountable. And when you suck, you will know you suck. And if you have any kind of self-accountability, you should own that. And not lash back at the players with, as my background shows, Lindor and Baez with their thumbs down. I think it's childish and immature. I think it was a total wrong approach. Do I hate them for this, or do I not want them on the team? Of course not. They're great players. They're young. Hopefully they grow and learn from this. If not, then yes, you know, you got to kind of reevaluate that situation. But you know, long story short, fans have the right to boo, and they should hold themselves accountable. And if they don't, the fans will. And if the fans do hold them accountable, they should accept that and move on and just say, you know what, guys, we sucked. I'm sorry you're booing us. Hopefully we give you something to cheer about. And that's that. If they would have simply just done that and kept it moving, it would have been great. Baez offering all that information, now he kind of threw Lindor under the bus. Because as you see behind me with Lindor with his thumbs down, we never would have known what any of that meant. And now we're all looking at Lindor like, this guy's supposed to be our leader, and this is your approach to the fans when they're booing you're underperforming at the plate. You know, it's there's a lot of questions out there, you know, and it kind of sucks as a fan right now, especially a Met fan, to be in the middle of this shitstorm. I hope it settles. I hope these guys perform, and I hope it's forgotten about. And that's that.
Well, you know, all this comes and stems from a certain level of frustration. And, you know, speaking of frustration, I don't know if you want to knock on that wall behind you. I don't know, Producer Joe, if you want to talk through your thoughts on this subject.
I've seen some spins today that, you know, give him a pass, see how he comes back.
What's going on?
A little louder, Joe.
And I've seen some spins today of people saying, give him a pass, see how he comes back. He's young. See how he responds to the, you know, learning that what he said and what they've been doing is wrong. But I don't agree with that at all. I don't even want to see this guy take another at bat as a Met. Sit on the bench the rest of the season. Decrease your value. I hope you get a shitty contract. And you know what? It was the most offensive thing I've seen as a Met fan in many, many years that he came out and said that. You guys saw how I reacted.
How do you feel about Lindor, Joe? Because Lindor is doing the
same
thing.
I feel like, you know what? We're trapped. You know what? See if we could trade him for a bag of seeds and see if somebody will take that freaking contract off our hands. Because you know what? Quite frankly, he's a piece of shit I don't want on the team either. But, you know, we have 9 more years of it at 34.1 mil per. So, you know what? I don't even want to see either one of them on the team.
Tom Bohan had a question for you.
Furious. No, man, I really wish I was.
Not yet.
Tomorrow.
Really wish.
Tomorrow, yeah. Mid-game of the makeup game.
Yeah. By the way, the makeup game, I saw somewhere that it's 1 o'clock start. It's going to be a split, but then on the site, it's all jacked up.
Yeah, that's why I was texting early. I was like, what the heck is this? Yeah. Looks a little weird, but anyway, yep.
All right, so I am a firm believer that anybody that pays money to go and see their team play can boo, cheer, jeer, as long as you're not throwing stuff, batteries, and all that kind of stuff, Philly fans.
Ryan Holmes sucks.
That's all fine. I can't remember a time where I've booed a player on my team that hasn't been a dick about something. You know, so in my mind, and this is just me, the player knows exactly how shitty they're playing, and me booing them and 20,000 people booing them because they popped out to end an inning is not going to make them do any better. They're not going to – guys like Lindor, he's not out there just jogging around. He's still playing his ass off, though he's struggling. So I know that he's trying, and you know, just booing is not going to impact that in a good way for me. And if I continue to go out to the stadium and I'm booing every single day, it's not helping him at all. All that being said, Baez is a jackass for coming out and just spilling the tea from the team. Right.
Under the bus.
So I firmly believe that Baez kind of just sealed his fate as a Met, and I also firmly believe that his value has taken a hit here, as unless he's signing in a smaller market, which won't be able to afford what he wants, then he's not going to get away with those type of things. You want to go play in Cincinnati or Kansas City, and you want to hit 210, and you want to not get booed, that's fine. But in New York, me personally, I don't boo guys on my team, but it happens and it is fair game. I have no qualms about it either way on that.
I haven't booed a lot of Mets myself either going to games, but I can tell you one that I definitely booed and every time I had a chance to was Carlos Baerga. I couldn't stand him for some reason.
I know.
It's like he gained 50 pounds. When he came to the Mets, he gained 50 pounds and he couldn't run anymore.
He didn't know how to hit or anything.
And he carried a 50-pound bat. He couldn't swing either.
What happened to you? You
perfect.
Bohan. Yeah, I mean, you know, but if I counted on one hand, I'd still have some digits left of what Mets I've actually booed. Even Anthony Young, when he was through that streak, I used to still cheer him on.
That became a comedic.
I met Anthony Young, man. Right. Me too. He's the fucking coolest.
God rest his soul. I have his autograph.
He's the freaking coolest dude.
Yeah, he was really cool. So I met him in Astoria at the Mets clubhouse in Astoria. Remember when that used to be out there? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Went out there. Yeah.
He was one of the coaches at the fantasy thing.
Oh, cool. He was a good pitcher. Fun. I don't know. He just had bad pitch selection. I don't know.
We were a very bad team. Nothing was going right back in those days.
Everything sucked.
Those were bad, bleak days.
This whole thing could blow over by next week. It's just today's headline. Next week, Baez and Lindor could be hot as all heck, you know, mm-hmm. tearing the place up. We could actually be in a playoff hunt. it could blow over within 2 or 3 weeks, and maybe producer Joe will hate him a little less.
Do they not well, boo fans, Timmy, players in Chicago? I mean,
well, no. Okay. So Mike Wilbon, I was watching PTI a little bit earlier. Mike Wilbon said he's a Chicago guy, and he's like, "Well, the Mets front office is to blame for this. They knew what kind of player they were getting in Baez." And first of all, why wouldn't the Mets have gone after it? You know, you give up a minimal prospect who's just coming off the injury, and you see what he's got for the couple of months. And then if you like what he did for you, you sign him. If you don't, you let him go.
Baez is a great player.
Let him go.
He's a great player, but Baez is also an extremely frustrating player. Like that picture that's going all around the internet from that swing last week where the pitch was the pitch was like 20 feet ahead of him at home plate. He's waiting on it. And he swings at the ball, but he's all or nothing, right? And so that's just top of the lineup, what Baez is.
He will hit home runs. He will do.
He'll definitely be productive.
He will save you a lot of runs with his glove.
Put him
and
in
that glove will
place.
Save you a bunch of runs. Yeah.
Boom.
You put him further down the lineup, and he won't strike out as much because he won't have as many at bats.
And if he does,
it's a way to fix some problems.
You know. And he'll try to get
right,
on
but
base.
But when he connects, I mean, geez, he launches balls out of there.
The guy's a stud player. He's a raging maniac when he's out there in the field. That's why he goes after everything, runs hard. You know, looks to fight. He's like, oh, I'm amped up. So whatever it is, he's got to tone it down just a smidge in New York. It'll work out.
Yeah. Timmy. Oh, yeah. There it is.
But look at the bat placement too. He's like,
it's
feet above
Joe.
It.
It's Jonathan.
It's
this is my favorite picture now. I'm gonna.
Yeah, of course,
this is gonna be my wallpaper.
Look it on.
Yeah, listen. Hey, Lindor,
Timmy makes a good point here, saying people get booed dropping foul balls or using the wrong condiment in New York.
Right, 100%. Yellow mustard on a pretzel. Boo.
I mean, it is. That's what it is. That people like to do that thing there. Sergio says,
"When yellow mustard, boo."
Yeah, I'm not a big mustard guy. Season's already over. Says Bohan again. We can build once we hit bottom, and we are now at bottom. Terzo says, "Win eight in a row, and we won't even talk about it." Listen, there were a lot of fans yesterday just saying, "Do whatever you want to. I don't care what finger you put up at us, as long as you're winning ball games." I mean, this is not even the worst. I mean, there's a lot of things worse than this, you know, to fans, right? Jack McDowell, when he was with the Yankees, did he not do a circle of the bird at Yankee Stadium to all the fans? I mean, forget about Philadelphia. I mean, this is not the worst thing to have happened, but I don't know what they're going to ask Baez to do, or if they're going to ask Baez to apologize, give a statement, but go forward. Baez has to be an angel. And this is what Steve Cohen had to say. These are young guys, and sometimes we forget that they're on a public stage and can make mistakes. They hit the third rail, though, by messing with the fans, and it's unacceptable. Hopefully this is a teaching moment, and they will learn from this. Just Baez, just get
a That's a great leadership statement.
Quiet, from here on out.
That's a great leadership statement. I like that. Good job, Cohen.
Edwin Cowbell, man. What's up, man? We appreciate you, as Cowbell, always, man. Joining in.
Yeah.
Pilar, yeah, there's Pilar's excuse is concussion syndrome. Maybe he's trying to do a thumbs up, and this is what he's getting. I'm not sure.
He's from Canada, X-way. Right? So he's got it up. He's got it backwards or upside down or something.
Yeah, something. I mean, Canadian. They're super nice people. They don't.
They're very nice. They get lost a lot.
Tergio says ex-wife not cooking is a reason to boo. At Cowbell, man, when you get a chance here, I'd like to hear what you think about the whole Baez situation. But unless there's some more comments that drizzle in here, let's talk about some baseball here. Mets trying to look. We just went through that disastrous set of games with the Dodgers and the Giants, where they went 2-11. Yeah. Seven one-run games that we lost during that stretch, and that's baseball, game of inches, frustration. Baseball is a beautiful game. It's my favorite sport in the world, but it can also leave you frustrated and screaming and just like, how many one-run games can we possibly lose? Rodriguez, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Remember where we talked about, you know, playing the Dodgers well a few years ago, and that led us to get a momentum? Well, here we were again, but at a different point in our season where we're kind of already free-falling. So now it switches a little bit, and the Braves are playing the Giants and the Dodgers. We just took 2 out of 3 from the Nationals, thankfully. We got the Marlins and the Nats still to come. So now it's kind of opposite, Rodriguez, and now we're 7.5, I believe it's 7.5 out, with 31 or so games to go. Now that it's flipped a little bit, can we take advantage of the Nationals and the Marlins in the next 10, 12 games and hope that the Dodgers kind of and the Giants beat the Braves here a game or two?
Listen, all we need is for the offense to wake up, and that hasn't happened all year. Is
it firecrackers?
They way, way do. But that's the only thing we need to.
What makes you think they're going to suddenly wake up on September 1st?
I said firecrackers. Don't you remember Buddy Harrelson?
What makes you think, oh, they're going to suddenly wake up the offense on September 1st? Get out of here.
Because wake me up when September starts.
Why not? Why can't it happen? It's not impossible. It can happen. But that's what needs to happen, right? I'm telling you guys what needs to happen.
As a statistician, if 5 out of the 6 months of the season, the Mets have sucked balls, the odds of them going to not suck balls on the sixth month are very slim. Very slim.
We've hit well in 14 games.
As a degenerate gambler that you are, yeah, those are probably pretty good odds. I'm just saying, that's what needs to happen. You could be mad at me, but that's what needs to happen. If that don't happen, if that don't just change, boom, it's just over. You know, I'm not going to count them out yet. We're still mathematically in it, right? So?
It's possible, but not likely. That's my approach. I mean, there's talent there, and it's possible they can go on this surge and average 7 runs a game throughout.
The pitching's been good, man.
Pitching's been amazing.
Pitching's been good, no matter what they say. You know, these guys are pitching their butt off, and the offense has just let this whole season go kaput, you know? The pitching coach should get the freaking award for this year, for the best coach there. Because he's done a good job with these guys.
Is Stroman now – I want to hear this from producer Joe. Is Stroman now a must-sign over the offseason?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got heart. He's got talent. He's got heart. He's proven himself to me this year. I mean, this year he's absolutely proven.
And do you know what he's doing on Twitter today? He's giving away tickets to games. He's giving away. He's telling people to send in. Hey. He's okaying for people to send jerseys to him to autograph to sign back. He gets what is going on right now. He knows that no matter how much he wants to stand with his teammates, he knows that that is not where you go.
No.
And think about what Stroman has endured on Twitter this year. Racism for no reason and this and that. Keith. I do think that Stroman is a must sign. Keith, where are you thinking here? Does Stroman get Zach Wheeler type of a contract right around there?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more even. Just because of what the market's been. I guess it depends what the market's going to dictate in this particular offseason, but he may get a little bit more than Wheeler money or thereabouts, and he deserves it. The guy has been a warrior for us, and Let's be honest, even though the brilliance we've seen in Jacob deGrom, he's been hurt a lot. Stroman's our ace this year, in my opinion. 100% Stroman is the 2021 ace of the team. Of course, only because he's been in there a lot more than deGrom, not deGrom's fault. But
just look at the
without
ERA.
This guy, he's been
I think he's like sixth
rotation.
In the league in the ERA, I think.
Yeah, he's been anchoring down that rotation, and he's got a lot of heart. I'd love to see him on the team for another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think he plays the game the right way. I think he has just the appropriate amount of fun out on the mound. I think he you know is a good person to look at for just being able to continually go through the exact same motion, build that muscle memory, and
he works hard.
He's at 20. He leads the league in starts too. He's been durable. He's got so much heart.
He's got so much heart when he's on that mound. I love watching him pitch. It's
I go three years. I wouldn't go four.
3 years.
Okay. I go three.
But you know,
a nice three.
I'll leave that up to Sandy and Steve and.
No, Stevie. I'm
telling you,
that's what I'm
going to
do. That's what I'm
going to
give him.
Yeah, Rodriguez is going to do it. It's all done.
10 for 3. Lock it up.
So done.
All right. I do want to talk, check out Cowbell Man's thought on Baez. But if you think the booing was bad, I just love the way he starts it up. Now it's going to get worse. I look at it this way. We fans pay a lot of money to watch this team year after year, so we have a right to cheer or boo if the team is underperforming. 1000% agree with you. I just haven't done it.
That's what
I do. 100% agree with you. In every sport, the fans are the same way. Mets fans are very, very frustrated right now.
Unless he hits a couple walk-offs, next home game at bat for Baez is going to be loud.
Please just Baez is actually
hears it all.
Baez will. You know with these split day-night doubleheaders this year, it's been like, we'll have five people at first pitch, and then, you know, it builds throughout the first game, and then by the time the second game comes along, there's a nice crowd there. So I wonder, because the lineup, I'm not sure if the lineups are having to be changed because of trades that were made or whatnot from either side, but interesting to see if they pop Baez in as a replacement for the first game while there's, like, not a lot of fans there, just to kind of like ease him into it and then see what happens in game two, if he even plays game
I think
two.
You're overthinking. And he deserves the booze.
Yeah, you know what? If there's nine fans in the stands,
he's going to rock.
He's going to – they're gonna boo him no matter how many guys are in the stands.
That might be worse because, you know, when it's a limited crowd, those are the loudest. Those are the loudest. Jersey, that's too much.
Those little crowds.
Yeah, well, tomorrow you got to start drinking early for that. I'm not opposed. Terzio, that's too steep. You're going too rich for our blood, I think. I 33. What did Zach Wheeler end up getting? 23, 24 million a year? So you do 3 years, 75. If you go Rodriguez, sign, sealed, delivered. Make it happen. Don't let him go nowhere else, Rodriguez.
70. I'll go up to 78.
So Theo Epstein. Who we talked about at the very beginning of the year.
Theo Epstein.
Let's slow down on that for a second. I would love Theo Epstein coming in here and doing things. Well, because he helped put the Red Sox championship together, Cubs
Isn't
championship together after
too?
90 years.
Isn't he part of that whole crew?
Who?
Doesn't he know that our coach, our interim general manager, Theo Epstein, weren't they part of the head of the crew when they were younger? Didn't
oh, the Red Sox.
Work for him?
Yeah, but Zach, okay. This
so
guy's not.
So he's a crook too.
Why is he a crook?
I don't know. He's just a crook.
Oh, wait. Oh, that. No, that was years ago. No, no, he's not
a
crook.
That was
he's
years ago.
He's
oh, okay.
He's great baseball mind.
Do you want to welcome Beltran back? Don't ever welcome Beltran back in our studio.
Laris wants Beltran back.
No, he does not want Beltran back. He's not that type of guy.
He said, I heard Beltran. I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God. He would lose. Got it
all right. Yeah, Terzio. The Uncle Stevie's not selling any, or allowing anybody else to share.
We have good players. They can't play.
So, wait. Well, okay. So that leads us into next to Buck Showalter. I like Buck Showalter.
I do like Buck Showalter.
Yeah, I do like Buck Showalter. But
well,
turn the place into prison. Gulag.
Dom, I did say that a little bit earlier. I think he just kind of sealed his fate there. Baez did. I think we have another tweet here. from Pitadushi. This is our old buddy, Paul LaDuca. People get mad at me. In 2006, we won 10 games in a row on the road, set a Mets record, came home, got blown out by the Pirates, who were in last place. We got booed off the field. I laugh because Mets Nation is so passionate. Get it or go home. I'm sorry, LGM. And then he also goes on to say, Baez needs to grow a pair. If you get booed in New York City, you deserve it, because when you deliver, you're a god. That's facts. No.
LaDuca is usually a loud mouth.
He does. Yeah.
That's a pretty good, his last tweet there, because when you deliver, you're a god. That's facts. I mean, my fans will roast you or a little toast to you, depending on what you
and
do.
They'll do both at the same day in the same inning.
So, yeah. Home run.
At the same bat. Cheer,
then the last three strikeouts, the third one's a boo. I mean, you know.
So what? I mean, you know, big deal. That's not it. Pendejito, you're a little Puerto Rican pendejito. And I have to say, because I'm Puerto Rican.
You know, the amount of sensitivity is getting a little bit ridiculous sometimes. It's just, dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it's just stupid.
All right. So you know, as we kind of start looking at things here, we got about a month left in the season, about a fifth of the season to go. Are there clear-cut guys, Keith? Are there clear-cut guys here that you want, you know, to just kind of clean house a little bit? Is it Baez and you want to trade Davis? What are your thoughts as of right now? So let's say the season ended today. Is this a bulk, kind of like get rid of these guys and then sign some consistent players?
I have a feeling it's going to be some change. I don't know what the change is. If I'm going to theorize, I'll start with Baez. I would like to see him stay in the team. I think we are going to try, depending on how he reacts to this controversy, go forward. I think we're going to try to sign him. In terms of cleaning, we might see somebody like a JD Davis gone. We might even see something like a Dom Smith going, either in a package or for a major league player or for some young minor league talent, just to make room for other players coming up and or free agents. So, no, it's not a big name. Well, I guess it is kind of for the Mets. But I'm going to say, you know, good chance you might see somebody like a Dom Smith or JD Davis being shipped out for some kind of package deal.
A couple of comments being made there. Yeah, I figured that producer Joe would put that up first. Get rid of McCann, Rojas. Hey, Louis. That's a new name. Rojas has to go now. He said he didn't know what was going on. Is that accountability on the manager part? Like the manager should be seeing what's going on the field and say, hey, why are you sticking your thumbs down? And producer Joe chimes in. What, Terza? You don't like an automatic out in the lineup? We got seven hitters in the lineup, says Terzio. Two automatic. So he's talking McCann and the pitcher. Jeez. McCann has not been that bad.
I think he does a really good job for us. And it's his first year in New York. I mean, catchers are up and down offensively, but as long as they're consistent defensively, you got to hold on to them. You can't just chuck this guy out. We got some talent.
Offense has taken a dump. Okay, everyone except for Paula Bear.
This is not Ray Ordonez. My God, look, she's comparing him to Ray Ordonez offensively.
Wow,
who is
producer Joe? Not bang on that door. Maybe skip.
No. Lance started to make the Ordonez justification. Oh, but his defense is so good, it saves us runs. Blah, blah, blah. That's the Ray Ordonez.
Now a little different though when you're talking about
it. But it is.
Guy calls a really good game. The pitching staff has been amazing under him. His defense has been saving us runs. And offensively, he is not in Ray Ordonez's category. So it's a little bit of a different argument. Ordonez, yes, he was amazing. But once he went from like a 270 hitter to a 198 hitter, can't do much with that.
Yeah.
It's a totally different position. Much easier to play shortstop than catcher.
Imagine that all day. You guys can manage this team better than Rojas. Man. Listen, Cowbell Man, after we're done taking over the fan in New York, we will take over the Metropolitans.
I'm managing the team. I'm just saying it right
now.
Do it. If we all got a fight, we're going to have
to
fight
for it.
About it. You guys can be third base and first base, coach. Keith, the first base is closer to the dugout. Paracha, you get the third.
I want to be the bench coach because this way I don't have to walk so much.
Just bring the balls out, huh?
We're joined by...
Want to be bench coach? What happened?
That's just, Producer Joe, you bring the balls out. Oh, man.
I've seen him run.
I got so many comments for that.
Sergio says, when I was a kid growing up, the catcher's position was to produce. We haven't had a catcher produce in a long time except for Wilson Ramos. Wilson Ramos last year was a disaster. He batted 210. He had no productivity. He couldn't move behind the plate. He couldn't block
the
ball.
He caught the whole game on one knee.
These days, it's not Piazza and Pudge and Laduca days where there's a lot of offensive catchers out there. There are some, but it's not the norm. These days.
I'd rather have Mackie Sasser thrown back to the mound than Wilson Ramos thrown to second base.
Wilson Ramos, by the way, tore his ACL and is out for the season. How did he tear his ACL? At what speed was he moving?
He was reaching for the cookies on the top shelf. That's what he was doing.
Man, that's like Brian Hobbs sucks. He took two steps and popped it.
Yeah, but this guy making more money than Brian Hobbs.
Oh, yeah. He's much more important to his team than... Brian Hump. There it is. Baez and Brian Hump sucks. Tom says, Steve, you can hide your whiskey drink in the corner of the dugout and tip a few during the game. Just like Billy Martin. Hey, I'm all for that. Maybe the manager here will let me just have the
bottle. It's legal in New York, is all I'm saying.
All right. Yes. Well, listen, whiskey solves all. Is what it is. All right, let's talk real quick about some food. Although this time around, I ate before the show. I'm not hungry. I'm good. Let's talk about Sterling's Paradise.
It's all about you, isn't it?
Sterling's Paradise. There you go. There are no thumbs down to Sterling's Paradise, right, guys? Located at 360 State Road 7 in Margate, right down here in South Florida. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, daily lunch specials, authentication cuisine. And as Keith and Rodriguez always point out,
cuisine.
What did I say?
Authentication.
Authentication. I said authentication. Authentication. The people who run the place, the people who run the joint, are fantastic people. They're authentication. Mm-hmm. 360 State Road 7, one more time in Margate, 754-205-2637. And for those of you listening in on the pod, 754-205-2637, one more time. Dial ahead, go pick up your order, use those apps, and just stay home and get it delivered. I personally, when I get the food delivered, I just have them leave it at the door. I don't even want to acknowledge this person anymore. Baez doesn't suck. He's adjusting to New York. Yeah, I mean, 17 games. The only thing I wish is that he just wouldn't have opened up his mouth. That's it. That we wouldn't be talking about this right now. We had been moved on. You don't adjust by attacking fans.
I'd rather he does this than snorts cocaine and ruins his career.
Yes, but 86.
And just barely made it through.
Keith, 86. Through. Would you mind if Keith Hernandez just kind of walked through the dugout?
The bad guys won. Hey, listen, leave a fishbowl of greenies. Fishbowl of greenies. Some lines out. They'll be good.
Doc Gooden couldn't even make the parade. That's how bad it was, bro. So let's let him have this little tiff now and get us a few championships.
All right, so leave the cocaine out. We'll just leave greenies in the dugout, in the locker room.
I don't know what that is. I want to drug up the team.
Let's move from drugs back to our drug of choice, baseball. Are you going to put greenies as your background picture?
No.
Terzio says Coke and cigarettes. whatever it takes. I really don't care.
Cigarettes. Yeah, green, just for the record, real quick, greenies was something Hernandez talked about. It's like a caffeine methamphetamine pill that they took back in those days before games for a little boost of energy.
Whatever, you know. Yes, unfortunately, I have been watching the games. I like torture. I love to torment myself. Love to scream. Love to get angry.
Love losing 2-1.
4-3. 5-4. 2-1. 1-0. 3-2.
Jesus. I started slamming the back. That's why my hair's getting long. My hair's getting long because I started slamming the back of my head into the wall because my front end of my head was getting all bruised. So I'm hiding all the lumps and bruises with my hair in the back of my head. Bam.
Still look lumpy though.
Thanks.
All right, let's talk about the one guy who's been the most consistent. Yeah, I do think this guy can take a huge, massive, massive step forward next year, and that's Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso he's had his issues this year, just like everybody else. But I feel like he has adjusted the best out of them all. He still has his 0-for-10s that he goes through, but as a hitter that hits the ball 17 miles, that's going to happen. That's my only thing. Power. Please, right, please. Exactly. Yeah. Please, in the offseason, I don't care what you got to do. Figure out, get hypnotized, figure out a way to lay off that high fastball. Because if you did, you might be hitting 290 right now with, you know, 35, 36 home runs and 85 RBIs. For me, too often this year, he swung at that high pitch. And if he just cuts down on it 20%, I really think that, you know, his batting average really gets up. He's right around 260, 263 right now, I think. And you pile on a few more hits on top of that by laying off that high fastball. I think you're up 285, 290, and now you're holy crap. Yeah. Keith, I'll let you start off with, I know you have a bond.
I love you.
I love Pete Alonso. We all love Pete Alonso.
Right. Most fans.
Except when he's reacting to a termination.
But
cry, baby.
I they fired Donnie Stevenson. I love Pete. I think Pete is. I think he's so young, so talented. I mean, he's having a lot of those slumps, like you said, but it's normal during the course of a year for a player of his caliber who just swings for home runs often to have stretches where they strike out a whole bunch and don't get a hit. I think he's hitting 260 right now. He's got, 29 home runs, 76 RBIs. He's on pace for over 30 home runs, close to 100 RBIs, hopefully, if not over. On a team that has been underperforming and not a lot of people on the base in front of him, that's pretty damn amazing. So I really like what I'm seeing in him, and I'm hoping that he takes that next step next year and does a little homework, like you were mentioning, you know, just kind of echoing what you said, does a little homework in the offseason and learns a little more plate discipline. But, he doesn't swing like Baez. He does have a big swing because he's a big dude, but he does have a sweet swing at times too. He does hit that ball into different parts of the field. Baez is smaller than he is, so in order to get those 440-foot homers, he does need to swing the way he does. I love him. I would love to see an extension signed for him, just kind of like the Braves did with what's his face? I won't name him here.
Acuna. I think in the next year or two. Yeah, I definitely think.
Yeah, you'll get a discount at the end of the day. I mean, if the guy stays healthy and he gets to his walk year.
And there's no team he'd rather play for. That's facts. That's 100%.
I agree. Yep, I agree. But, you know, that's my take on Sir Pete.
Tom says Pete's issues is he has no one in the lineup that can protect him consistently. He presses way too much because he knows he may have to do it all. Yeah, he's been tinkering with the lineup lately, and there's, you know, Nimmo has gone from first to second, and then Pete went into the third hole, then he slid down to the four, then back to the two.
We need consistent guys, Paracci. We need consistency. Yeah. You know, the two biggest guys we're going to need next year, if they stay healthy, and this is the problem with the Mets, they stay healthy, but if Nimmo stays healthy for a whole year, he can be maybe one of the most dangerous players in all of baseball because of his on-base consistency. He gets on base at a crazy rate, and he's just going to get better and better and better and stronger. And truth be told, JT Davis has to play. Man, he's an offensive animal. If he were to play a full year and stay healthy, he's easily a 300 guy, easily 25 home runs and 100. Those are two young guys that we need. We need guys that can be consistent. But like you guys say, ship them out if they can't be consistent. I'll take 9,300 hitters all day.
Oh, for sure.
And I'll win plenty of championships that way. But,
Yeah, I do think that JD should be playing a little bit more often because he is he's a really good hitter. I think he's got a nice eye. I think he puts solid contact on the ball. And, you know, he seems like the odd man out right now. And
for he's still hitting well.
He's about, 295, I think.
You gotta keep guys like that around. Stop trying to get big swingers like Baez,
Baez, you know what? Like I said a little earlier, I was okay with it because we didn't give up too much, not really much at all for him. And if it's a rental, then it's a rental, and he can go bye bye, and then you can go back to the free agent well and see okay, what else is going on out here, or McNeil can learn how to hit again.
That $20 million that's sitting in the back with injecting himself. We got to get rid of that package.
Yeah, he's got to go.
And Producer Joe too.
But I did. let's keep Producer Joe around. He's doing a good job.
Hey, he's trying, man.
But I did hear that. Yeah, I did read that one of the priorities for the Mets in the offseason is, I guess they do love Nimmo. Just staying healthy, like you said, and we've all said. But they do like him a lot. And what's not to like when he's in there, right? He gets on base ridiculous amount of time. What I love about Nimmo is that when he takes a strike that he knows wasn't a strike. He just gives that smirk like, I know the strike zone better than anybody else out here. I know that was a ball,
you can have that one. Let's not get that crazy. He's just a country boy. He won't say anything bad. He might say
no. He just gives that smirk. Yeah. Gosh darn it. Nimmo is the happiest player on earth.
What about the squirrel? I mean.
That's what I'm saying. Squirrel would figure out how to hit again. His boiling point
Squirrel has to stop playing golf. He has to stop playing golf.
So everything's uppercut, and that one for middle of last week. I forgot what game it was because all those games kind of blended together. Where he came up with a couple of guys on after a pitcher got wild, and he swung at the first pitch, it was up, and with that swing that he's got, of course, where's it going to go? Pop up to third and foul ground, inning over. So, if right now, for me...
That would bust the vein in my heart if I was the manager. I would be bleeding over there, trying to get him to kill him. After a walk, I mean, come on, guy's wild. I mean, come on, man.
It's the worst. It's the most depleting feeling. You know, when you start to get a rally going, and then let me swing the first pitch. But JD Davis is the better hitter right now.
Buck Showalter would not let that shit happen. Let that thing happen. Buck Showalter would not let him swing at that first pitch and get away with it without getting an earful as soon as he gets to that dugout. They don't care who it is. That's how you have to play.
Do you think Squirrel's masking injuries? Because he's not busting it the way he normally does. So it looks like his hammy's still bothering him. Do you think there's other injuries at play?
I think he's hurt. Yeah.
Maybe affecting his batting?
I think he's hurt and the fact that he needs to stop playing golf. I don't care what you say. I know that those are two totally different swings. And the way he swings a bat, it's almost like he's swinging a golf club.
Terzio's got a point.
He has to level it out again. That's it.
And that's all that there is to it. Look, did you guys hear Hojo on the broadcast the other day? My dad asked him. They straight up asked him, "What do you think about hitting these?" Because he's always been a great hitter for Mets and even for the Tigers. And he was a hitting coach. and there was a reason for that, that he was a hit, that he became a good hitting coach. And he just said, he, you know, he teaches the max launch angle to be like 25 degrees because you got to talk launch angle because everybody's talking launch angle. So you got to be with it. But he says that's the flat, bring the bat down, the head of the bat down. And that's the way baseball has always been driven. I'm with you guys on the analytics for the Keith Hernandez. It drives him crazy, and same for us. The uppercut swings, and you can see it. It's so evident of how far the players are missing the ball. They're missing the ball by 4 inches underneath, and it's
so what the all pitchers do. The they launch. go higher and higher because the players are still missing it.
And that rising four seamer, you know,
if you stop swinging, the pitches have to come down. Guess what? Your average goes up.
I heard someone mention Daryl Strawberry in terms of uppercut swing, and you know what? My response to that was the guy was 6'6", so everything looks uppercut. you know, he was a big guy, so he's got to get down because that's where the ball is. You know, and that was his style. It doesn't
power hitters usually have an uppercut swing
a little okay? bit, yeah. But,
and he was a power
like
hitter. Jeff McNeil is not
needs to square his bat up a little bit. And, yep. You know, better pitch selection, you know.
He's trying to hit 25 home runs where he's a better player if he hits 13 to 15 home runs.
Yeah. He needs to be like a Wade Boggs, not like a Daryl Strawberry, you know.
Know your role.
If he has power, it'll come.
Know your role and shut.
Basically, yeah. If he could definitely be a Wade Boggs. I could see him, if he would have cut that crap out, be – 320, 310 hitter year in, year out for the next several mm-hmm. years.
Terzio, we don't talk positively about Daniel Murphy on the show. Go talk to
no.
the other
no.
other show no. about that one. All right.
No ball hitter,
I'll call him Boulay this time guy. Because I like his idea. Hojo, 2022 Mets hitting coach. But we all not? Know if you follow him on Twitter, you know, his grandson had that unfortunate mm-hmm. accident true. With the lawnmower, and he's been going through surgery after surgery, and I terrible, love to man. See the video that they showed when Hojo was on there of him running the bases with the boot on. So poor little guy, but he's got a good family surrounding him, so he's gonna get through that. All right, let's look at the schedule real quick before we wrap up this bad boy and put a big old blue and orange ribbon on it. We are off today, which is why we're here.
Can't lose what is, today.
We cannot lose today. Today's not a game that we're gonna lose. But starting tomorrow, we got the suspended game that we're gonna pick up. I don't know who's gonna start. I don't know that anything's been announced for who's gonna pitch, but I don't think it's Stroman's day to pitch, so Stroman will not pitch tomorrow. So we'll see. I believe that game is supposed to start at 1 o'clock, but
Rich Hill probably.
Could have been off too. Yeah, potentially yeah. Rich Hill. Yeah. So you got four with the Marlins here. You got Marcus Stroman, who's not going to pitch tomorrow. But let's say it's Rich Hill, and then followed by Trevor Williams, who's been good for us so far. You got Carrasco, who pitched well his last time out. This was Rodriguez. I think it was you that said this is the cookie I was waiting for. Carajo. And so we play the Marlins, and we've had some issues with the Marlins coming down the final stretch of the season. Rich Hill is pitching Thursday, so I guess tomorrow's first Trevor one Williams? Is up in the air. Trevor Williams is pitching the second game tomorrow.
I can't Carrasco's, see the screen; it's so small.
Oh, so it's whoever for tomorrow. Trevor Williams. For the night game tomorrow, Carrasco for Wednesday's game, and Rich Hill for Thursday. So did Stroman happen to fall on this day? That'd be a weird coincidence. If any of you guys know, in the comments, let us know. So that's it against the Fish, and then we go to Washington for five. Five games with the Nationals, five games with any team, it's tough. So this is, I mean, I don't know if there's any point in making predictions. This is, you know, this is the nitty gritty, guys.
To win
this
every
is September
game.
1st. Got to do it. You got to win, 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 win. And,
take
you know, bring
series.
Familia in as much as possible. Familia's been lights
oh
out.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Oh, my
All
God.
All right. Joe, who else? Because let's look at the rest of September, because I think we've got, you know, we've got the Yankees in there. We close out against the Braves, I do believe. So we have this stretch against the Marlins and the Nationals, which we have to get right on. And if we don't, that's it. And we're hanging from it as it is. But if we don't get after it against these two teams while the Braves are playing the Giants and the Dodgers, then that's be pretty much all she wrote for this year. And I'm sure we'll have some very interesting September episodes. So that's what's coming up. We will be on Mondays go forward through the rest of the regular season, just because it works out that way. There's a few Mondays off, and then you know, 7 o'clock game I think is one of them. So Terzio says we're gonna win 4 against the Nats. 4 out of 5. Three out of four against the Marlins. 4 out of 5. Let's just do it. Do it. Don't do play it. Just do it. Just put it on the scoreboard. But somebody do it.
Please.
All right.
Put it in the books.
Let's do just that. Now let's put a big old blue and orange ribbon on this bad boy. And Keith, I hope you have something for us. I hope you have some energy behind it to help us reel off like 13, 14 straight.
Yeah, I do. And it's not against our own players. So sorry for all you naysayers out there. This is for you. It's a group Fakata. I'd like to Fakata the whole entire National League East. I want you all
Boom.
To suck for the rest of the
I like
year.
It.
I want to take first place. I want to get in the playoffs. I want to get in there hot, and I want to take out the West Coast. I want to make it to the World Series and win it all, baby. The season's not over. Don't give up, Met fans. Fakata NL East, except for my New York Mets, baby. Woo!
You know, if there's anything that will say how the division has been this year, it's that the Mets are, what, 5 games under, and they're 7.5 games out. The Dodgers are like 37,000 games over and like 2 games out.
Mediocre at best, okay?
Yes.
So
I got you guys yelled at me a couple years ago when I called the Mets mediocre. Hmm?
What are you
These
talking
days,
about?
You could say it, I guess.
You're making things Man. Up. In
Keith,
your head
Keith,
listen, if I don't
Keith
live within
was,
my...
Keith hated me when I said that.
You know?
Keith hated
be,
it.
Must be all the
No, because the Mets really had true potential
you
idea for Archie. So, yeah, sorry, well, Archie, because I had just... Because you mentioned my name, I just have to say, the Mets had true potential that year. And your words...
They were first place for 90
your
days.
Your words in the universe ruined it. It's your fault. All your fault.
You did. Poop and milk. You were big time, Pooper.
We
what am I now? This isn't working either. This isn't working either.
This happiness thing isn't working either. Right?
Happy's not working because you know, every night I'm not.
Just let them be. just don't not, have a heart attack. Just have a drink.
Holy
have a drink,
crap.
Have a cigar,
I
relax.
I talked to my father the other day. He's like, did you watch the game? I'm like, on and off. I couldn't watch the whole thing. He goes,
there it is.
My father said, I shut it off. I couldn't watch it either. It was just getting bad. Mm-hmm. I started going back to box scores during some of the games this week.
Oh, no. I take it like Nimmo took it on the cheekbone with that baseball the other day.
Oh, forget about just, Nimmo. He's going to get hurt in any minute now. I don't have any faith in him. Oh, I don't believe I just said what I said before about him. Oh, I changed my mind.
This is a...
I give up.
All right. Keith, any closing remarks besides that fantastic fuakata? That fuakata.
Yeah, it's been a really rough second half, man. I mean, it started right before the end of the first half. It's been really rough. You know, that's what makes us Met fans. We hang in there. I hope these guys turn it around. I'm really curious to see what Baez and Lindor, how they handle this little mini, I guess we'll call it controversy because that's what the fans are making it into going forward. And just last words of wisdom, hang in there, my fans. It's not over yet.
I like it. Rodriguez, what about yourself?
So dramatic. So dramatic. Listen, they suck.
That was a great build. Dun, 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 dun.
They suck. If they don't start hitting, they're going to suck even more. It's going to be a miserable end of the season. This whole bias thing will never stop. A good winning streak will kill all this nonsense, and everybody will be happy again. Producer Joe may forget Baez. Maybe he won't, but he might, because he forgave Strowman. So, you know, we'll be good. Let's go, Mets. Keep your mask on. Vaccinate. Take care of yourself.
Dude, yes, I still haven't forgiven freaking Milk Dud, and he was our best center fielder ever. Okay, so.
And I never, ever will.
Can I just do one thing for Frank before we move on?
Yeah, you're gonna hook him up.
I'm gonna hook Frank up
with what he wants.
Hey, there you go, Frank. Mr. Matt, two thumbs up. I don't know what he's doing there, but I see thumbs going up.
Good old Shay. All right, so
that's the only two thumbs up.
Oh boy!
Wow. Yeah, where are those thumbs going? Where are those thumbs going, Keith?
You know what? I'll tell you what you can do with you. I'll tell you what you can do with your thumbs.
Yes, very good. So Producer Joe, I don't know if Baez is going to be around long enough for you to even potentially forgive. So we'll see how that goes. But it is what it is. The Mets have to start hitting it. You know, mathematically speaking, we know that this is positive. Possible. 7.5 with 17 to go. We've done it before. We've been there. I know that we like to say we're always on this side of things, but for once, let's be on this side of things and let's go ahead and get that division. That's all that there is to it. The pitching needs to continue to do what it's doing. Stroman needs to continue on doing what he's been doing. The pen loop has been fantastic. I know he gave up that run the other day, but it's got an ERA of around 1 or right around 1.01 or something.
He's been the our best reliever.
Ridiculous. Thumbs up to you guys from the divide line. Appreciate that, guys. And so you gotta just win.
I don't know about that.
You gotta just win, and that's all there is to it. Or else we're gonna be talking about the season wrap up by the first week of September.
And in order to win, you gotta score more runs than the other team.
That is very true. That is very insightful.
Send that to the office. They didn't. I don't think they know that.
I don't think they got that memo.
No.
They didn't get it. Got it. It's very important. You get to score at least one more run than the other team, or else you're never going to win any games.
Minimum.
So that'll do it for us this week. We appreciate you watching us on this great Monday evening. We got the Marlins. We got the Nationals. We can turn this thing around, guys. We can. It's possible. Just need a little bit of a collapse from the Braves. Until then, we'll keep you posted into the group on Facebook. We'll talk about what's going on daily. Hopefully, this shitstorm goes away, and we can focus on what's going on the field. And Baez and Lindor can hit back-to-back jacks tomorrow night to win the game in the bottom of the ninth inning, and all can be forgotten, and we can smile again just like Nemo and go on to the playoffs and whoop some Dodger ass. All right, thanks for watching again. We appreciate you guys. We'll be here next Monday. Peace out, everybody.
Put up the books!